Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Wash Up Welcomes fans, you are back for another episode. I talk about the Twitter drama I got myself into this weekend. Basically, I'll tell you how I was a little bit wrong on that. We talk about Nebraska, how we've won six straight, what we've got left on the season. Big Ten championship hopes still just hanging on. There's a chance. Who would have thought after those first 2 weeks? We're going to get into it all right here. You know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, to episode Who Actually Cares of the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, because this is officially episode one of the newest podcast introduced to you by Kevin and I. It is the Cancel Kluver podcast. I'm all on this train. I thought I was the only one that made themselves look like an asshole online to then try and be hated by everybody. But I see that my buddy Kluver has since taken over the reins since my deleting of Twitter, that toxic ass app that everybody should get rid of. Cancel Twitter 2021 should really be the vibe. But as it is, it's Cancel Kluver. I'm good with that. I hope that Kevin and I get our opportunity to really dig in on him this week. And let's get right into it, man. I'm real excited for this one. Also, Nebraska is still Iowa's son. If you guys thought anything else was going to happen, surprise, no surprise, six in a row. That's all I got, man. What's up?
It's a call her daddy type of thing. Nebraska's really calling us daddy. God, boys, there's a lot
to
talk.
Who are you calling daddy right now, Kluv? Who are you calling daddy? Who's your daddy?
Rock. Currently, just about every fan on Twitter is my current father.
So listen, I don't have it anymore. So I haven't seen all of it. I've only gotten a couple of screenshots. Mm-hmm. I need a synopsis of some of the best things that happened when people were dumping buckets of shit on your head.
And Drake,
I think Mark Calver had the funniest quote.
That was actually good. Shouts to Mark. And there's so many levels to this that we're going to get into because a lot happened. And some of the listeners may not be familiar. And Drake, again, you're not on Twitter, so you didn't see it all. So we're going to quickly break it all down. And this is not to increase or further drama. It's more to explain, because I think there is.
I do think you need an opportunity to explain yourself. And I think that we may need an opportunity to straighten you out. So we're going to find out.
Yeah. Okay. So, and Drake, back to your point, I actually went in. What, Kev?
Is this a prepared statement that you're reading for the fans?
No, I have nothing prepared.
Is your lawyer going to read your prepared statement for you?
No, I don't have a lawyer. This is not the Doyle podcast where I prepared something to collect my thoughts. Maybe that's a better idea. Maybe I should have. Maybe that creates good content. I don't know. But Drake, not only did Twitter, I took a nice little beating on Twitter, but the message boards that I don't really participate in, but these people that DM me, they DM me all this shit and all of the back and forth. So you have to
see it whether you want to or not. That's hilarious.
Oh yeah, dude. And the message boards are worse than Twitter. Cause
oh, of course
the message boards are like Twitter before Twitter.
It's even more anonymous.
Yeah, you are a blob. You're an internet blob. No one knows who you are. So here's what happened. Fans of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. I tweeted mid-game, which I actually think is actually part of this. I think some people thought that I was doing it after the game, like after we had won and trying to like bring us down. I tweeted in the middle of the game. Some of you may or may not remember, Amir Smith-Marset fumbled the ball out of bounds. On the sideline, it went out of bounds, didn't end up costing us anything. And I got on, I was at the game. By the way, it was fantastic to watch the Hawks beat Nebraska. They didn't do it as handily as we would have liked. It was not like the last 3 weeks. We're going to actually get into the game breakdown after we get through this dumb bullshit. He fumbled the ball out of bounds. I get on Twitter. I tweet pretty close to this. Amir has always had shit ball security. He just refuses to put it away, and that's honestly BS. And I tweeted it, and I thought I literally put no more thought into it than I do any other tweet. I did not think it would blow up at all. I didn't know if it would even, like, I wasn't expecting a response, wasn't expecting anything. Which I'll get back to in a second. Didn't really check Twitter the rest of the game. I tweeted other things the rest of the game, because that was in the third quarter, I believe. Game ends, we win, yada. Go out to eat with my family afterwards, and we're sitting at dinner, and I get on Twitter, and I have all these notifications. And Amir had quote tweeted me and said, just be happy we won six straight, bro, with a kiss face, which is cool. Like, the players have Twitter now, and someone from the outside is talking shit. That's a good, solid, level-headed response. Like that, I respect that out of Amir. I expect nothing less from a player who's getting criticized. To, you know, that's better than what a lot of people would respond. And I responded back to Amir. I was like, bro, I love you. I'm happy that we won the game. I just wish you would hold it tighter. Then Gervas tweeted at me. And Gervas said, that's a bogus tweet.
Gervas doesn't tweet that often, so.
I don't know if Gervas ever tweets. Gervas tweets at me, That's a bogus tweet, Kluv. And I'm like, shit. And I, at this point, I'm like a little confused. I'm like, damn, I didn't think that it was like that big of a deal. Like, I was just pointing out what I thought was obvious. And the whole point of this is now not to talk about the ball security, which I don't think anyone was kind of fighting me on. There might have been, you know, in fact, Amir doesn't have that many fumbles that he's lost. The ball has come loose a few times. And I do think that the consensus was that he carries it a lot looser than he needs to. But it hasn't cost us. But the whole point is how the tweet came across. So I was like, once Gervas said something, I was like, shit, that's actually somebody I respect. Like, I respect Jake. I respect any of the other guys who we played with. So maybe this is something that more than I thought it was going to be. And then Tyler Barnes, who I think listens to this podcast on occasion, and other people listen to this podcast on occasion, tweeted at me. He tweeted back on the tweet and said, I said that it was BS that he wouldn't put it away. Tyler Barnes said something along the lines of, what's BS is your tweet. We love having Amir on the team and something, something. And then I tweeted back at Gervas and he was like, I was like, Gervas, do you think I'm wrong? And he said, no, what's wrong is calling out a former teammate. So then I was like, shit, that wasn't the intent, right? I didn't want to call him out. I was just kind of, I thought it was more of an observation than a personal call out. And I think after looking at it, I have my mind has changed on it. I deleted the tweet just so that people stop throwing it around and just making more out of it than it was. And at first I was like, so I was getting a lot of responses about like, you shouldn't be calling out a former teammate. You shouldn't be criticizing all this stuff. You're a former guy, whatever. I was like, well, shit, like that's kind of like what we do now. We're on the podcast. Like there's no way that in the position that we're in now, which at its base, I already know is very uncomfortable for most of the guys we played with, that we already rub a lot of our former teammates the wrong way by getting on a podcast. I mean, it's so not Iowa football, like the Iowa way, to get on and start like talking and be part of the noise. I fully understand that. So what we do is already very, kind of out, probably crossing the line. A lot of our former teammates would consider it. They don't.
Would like you call us the Black Mariahs?
I don't know what that is.
Kevin, would you call us the Black Mariahs?
I don't fucking know, man. I don't pay attention to anything anymore.
But you guys would agree with that, right? Like there's a lot of guys who we've had a couple guys who won't even come on the show as a guest because they're just not comfortable with it. They don't like, and part of it is why we built a little bit of a following is because no one has done it. But there's a negative connotation from guys on the inside. That's like, they want to go talk and like, you know, and that's okay. You know, like to each their own. We do it for fun. I understand how it would rub some guys the wrong way. Like, and for the most part, we don't talk bad. Like this is a positive thing, but to some extent we have become like, well, there's analysis that goes on of people who are playing. There's analysis of individual performances. There's analysis of how the team is doing. So in my head, I'm like, there's no way that I'm just not allowed to. I'm trying to process at this time, like yesterday, why it was that this tweet rubs so many people the wrong way. And
here's where I want to pause you, Cliff. You made a statement.
Well, yeah,
you
here's,
made a
here's where I
there.
Want to get your thoughts. I want to know your guys' initial thoughts on it. Because at first, okay. Stubborn me. Everyone does it. No one wants to be wrong. I was like, what the fuck? Like this is dumb, right? But then when Gervas and guys started chiming in, I was like, well, shit, maybe I was wrong.
So here's my two cents on it. I don't believe that you did anything wrong. When you said, am I allowed to or not? Yes, you are allowed to. You exercised your First Amendment right to the freedom of speech and used your Twitter account to do so. All things you are 100% allowed to do. What I think you failed to understand is that in this situation, like, because it feels very, very similar to the way Matt Vandenberg called us out as a podcast on the Oliver Martin situation when he put it on Twitter, rather than texting us directly and being like, hey guys, this, this doesn't sit right with me. I don't like the way you guys handled this. Let's talk about this. That's not the way it happened. This feels very similar. And the only thing I will say to you is that you have 100% full reign to say whatever you want, whenever you want. That is your American God-given right. But you have to understand that if you do say something that is directed at somebody that could challenge everything that they've potentially been working towards for their whole life, you have to be willing to deal with no matter what the consequences. It could be absolutely none, or it could be the most drastic consequence, but you have to be ready for the entire spectrum if you're going to do something like that. And that's what I think you may have failed to realize.
Yes. I don't think I failed to realize it. I didn't. I'm fully okay with other people criticizing me for criticizing Amir or criticizing my tweets or criticizing the podcast. What I was saying more as being allowed to do it was, we're in this weird spot where I think a lot of people want us as a podcast and as former players to just be like, they just want us to be homers. They only want to hear us like hype it up, like Hawks by a million, baby, let's go. No chance the Hawks lose. They don't.
In the last 4 weeks, it's Hawks by a million.
Yeah. I've got to be allowed to not just me, we in the media world, we're not media. And that was funny too. But we analyze the game. We talk about how the game went, how Tyler Goodson ran the ball, how Spencer Petras threw the ball. There's definitely no rule of like, we can't talk about the bad stuff that happens, right? But it's how we talk about the bad stuff. And that's what I later realized was the tone of the tweet. And so I think if I would have got on and said something like, you know, Amir seems to carry it loose. I just wish he would carry it looser. I didn't cuss, and I would have just said it nicer. I don't think we would have had the reaction, but because of the way I said it, it came off personal.
Yes.
And it was totally not meant as personal. And I realized after reading the tweet over and over, trying to figure out why it struck a chord with so many people, I realized with what mouth I was saying it with. And it was my former teammate mouth. That is how I would have said it to like his face. Some people were like, well, say that to his face. Believe me, I'm pretty sure I said something to Amir like his freshman year when he had the ball. I think he blew me off on it, but I would not be scared to tell Amir that in person. But it's how I would have said it if I was still the snapper. Like if I was on the bench and I saw him fumble it out of bounds, my reaction talking to myself or like saying something to Keith as we were standing on the sidelines would have been something along the lines of, God, he's always had shit ball security. Like he's got to tuck that thing away. He just won't do it. That's how I would have spoke if I was on the team or if we were watching film the next day. It was and that's an inside thing, right? That's between players. And I think that's why people got mad is because I think it's okay for guys to talk like that to each other. But I brought it to Twitter where I no longer am on the team. And so now when I talk like I am on the team, it's like, but now you're just throwing your teammate onto, you're just throwing them under the bus and opening them up to the public, right? That's where it got wrong.
Before you go any further, Kevin, how long have you been sitting at a red light?
That was a solid 30 seconds there.
So. That was a long time because we heard the turn signal for the whole 30 seconds.
Yeah. Kevin, I want to – would you agree that that's what it was, is it came off way more personal than I intended?
Okay. I think you guys are both trying to make this way more fucking complicated than it is. Kluber, is what you said incorrect? No. How you said it incorrect? Absolutely. Fucking yes. Like, whether you like it or not, I'm not even whether you like it or not. Like, Amir is one of our former teammates, man. And he's your teammate for life. Like, he was a guy in the locker room with us, his freshman year, our senior year, helped us win games. You don't call out your teammates on Twitter. You just don't fucking do it, okay? The manner that you called him out on Twitter in a poor fashion.
Yeah.
If you wanted to say it nicer, you should have said, Amir, please put the ball away. Monkey with his hands over his face emoji. Boom. Right. Sweet. No one cares. That's it.
But
that's the end of the situation. Done.
But Kevin, that's still, that's still technically calling him out in a way. Like you're calling him out on his, you see what I'm saying? Like you're still in a way touching on something that a former teammate is doing isn't doing it, you know, and I get it. Most people would just not say anything. You know, probably 99% of the people hate how much I tweet that we played with. And I'm okay with that. It's not their thing. They see it as wrong or whatever.
But I thought that was a fun little conversation, though. Even though some people might not like it, and we'll have to tell them to fast forward 20 minutes through the podcast, and then we'll get to the real analysis. I wanted my boy to be able to get his piece out.
Yeah, and the other thing was, that I think got the reason why some people were confused is it came off personal, but it also it seemed like an attack on his character or something, or people took it that way. The reason I called it bullshit in the tweet was because I even got called out for like, oh, won't call out Petrus, but he'll call out Amir. And I just think quickly before we move on was the bullshit part of it was the fact that I see ball security as an effort thing. Whereas like, you know, calling Petrus out on being bad at quarterback, you know, he's at least trying. Whereas, you know, the ball security thing, you can try harder to tuck it to your chest and stuff like that. So I
want to pop in real quick here, guys. And, you know, Drake cuts me off a little bit. We go a different direction to start analyzing the actual game. This is where I later on realized that I didn't get to the point of what I wanted to say, which was that I actually want to apologize to Amir, anybody else that I've formerly played with that saw the tweet or saw it as, you know, me who would get on and make a personal attack against a guy that's in the Brotherhood, and anybody that's in the program like Tyler Barnes who thought it was a bullshit tweet. It was in bad taste and definitely just a Twitter fingers moment that I should have put more thought into. So definitely something that I still believe in. I still think that the ball security could be better, but something that is a player to player thing and not ever something that you should take on Twitter in a petty way like I did. And I apologize for that. So we get into talking about Petrus and the game analysis and the Hawks taking home the sixth straight Heroes Trophy game now. So enjoy that. Thanks. Hey guys, want to interrupt the show to let you guys know that we are sponsored by Indeed. Yes, 2020 has already changed so many things in the way that we work, and businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient every day, which means that every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit for free at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now. It's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
I didn't want it to
Is that Petrus' comment, the way we're opening up the game analysis?
That was kind of just a generalized statement. I don't know if you bad is what you would call it, but he's not. You know, I guess here we go. Here's the segue. For all those that have wanted me to call out Petrus, he hasn't gotten better. I guess here we go. I'm going to get canceled for saying that Petrus isn't good or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you like how I segued you right into cancellation 2.0?
Right. Like, I mean, now I'm like, well, can we even analyze how our guys are doing? Because now it feels like I'm just being an asshole to everybody. But, I mean, you got to be objective. I did have a mean tweets version of what people said about me on Twitter and the message boards, Drake's, for you. I can read it later or not, but
Yeah, we'll finish the episode with that. Like, if anybody wants to stay around for the bloopers, that's how we'll finish the episode.
Yeah. There's a really good one to end it. Really good one. Nebraska isn't good.
And our secondary made them look reasonably good.
It was such a weird game. The line play to open up the game, they were they were asking Petras to throw the ball, basically. They came out with good energy on their defensive line. They were kind of dominating our offensive line, which sucked to see. The running game was pretty non-existent in the first half. It was good to see that open up in the second half. We got a bunch of field goals. We just could not finish a drive. All right. When you're getting 3 and not 7, that hurts bad. That hurts really bad. Now, luckily, we have Keith Duncan, who...
Dude, when that ball posted, oh.
That's tough. That's tough. And a ton of people want to hear the analysis on that, too, because the snap wasn't great.
Ball came out a little low.
Snap wasn't great. Hold wasn't great. I'll talk about it in a second. I'm not going to go too much into it, but it's pretty simple. When you're getting 3 and not 7, it is very hard to pull away. It's so extremely hard to build a lead and be confident. Not only that, but it's like, okay, well, you know, you're giving the defense confidence. You're giving the other team confidence. Like, we're stopping these guys. They can't score touchdowns on us. I don't know. What did you guys think? I've talked a lot. What do you guys think about the game in general and how it was start to finish?
Go ahead, Kev. I want to hear you.
Sorry about that. I was on mute. I thought Nebraska came out ready to play for the first time since the Ohio State game. They looked a lot better on defense and had a little bit of energy on offense. Defensively, again, for Iowa, one thing we've done a great job of is limiting big plays. I think we only really gave up one big play, and that it was like that 3rd and 27 just ladder of a human goes up and gets it, somehow keeps his toe in bounds.
I really thought this was going to be the RIP him episode, because when he got dumped on his head, I thought for sure they were taking him off in a helicopter straight to the gravesite.
Man, that yeah.
He walked off the field later.
That was the same guy.
Yeah, yeah, same guy. The guy who caught
that dumb catch.
3rd and 23. Yeah.
Yeah, so talk about, you know, everybody listening knows when you're in a stadium, the wind just gets sucked out of it when a team, you know, when the opposing team makes a play like that. And there's already not a lot of energy. You know, it was cold. There's probably 400 parents and other people there who are on players and staff tickets. And any energy that we had at that point, it was just gone. Like, they made that play, and it was like, Jesus, God, come on, guys. But Kev, go ahead.
Defensively overall, you know, played solid. There's one critique, you know, we couldn't get like any pressure on the quarterback until like late in the game when Phil started dialing up some blitzes. That kind of allowed them to pick apart the secondary a little bit. But when you have all day to throw, it's like, Jesus, how long do you want me to cover this guy for? It's pretty damn hard thing to do.
Yeah.
But I can't argue that.
I was going to say, Kev, how long, like, is there an amount of time, like an actual clock on it of how long the DBs are, you know, reasonably expected to cover a guy?
I mean, if you give a quarterback 5 seconds every time and he can go through, say we're playing zone defense, there's always holes in whatever zone you play. And if you give a quarterback 5 seconds to go from read one, read two, read three, read four, one of those guys is going to be in a hole in the zone. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's just really not much you can do about it. Obviously you want to try to match routes as close as possible, but eventually he's going to find the open man.
Yeah.
And if you're playing man to man, it depends. I mean, it's one of the hardest things to do in sports, in my opinion, is guard some of the gazelles running around out there. Just man to man, you're not allowed to touch them. It's honestly amazing what these cornerbacks can do. But again, if you give a guy 5 seconds, he's going to find somebody that's open.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest critique of the defense. But bowed up a lot. Gave up 20 points again, which, you know, you give up 20 points every game, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Yeah. Yep. We are really consistent with what we've given up, right? Like,
it was really our third down defense that made me just feel so uncomfortable. You know, I didn't like the way that some of their on some of their zone reads, the gaps were massive. Didn't love that. But it was just the fact that their third down conversion rate on like third and impossible was absolutely not impossible.
And part of that is that both of both Martinez and Luke McCaffrey, who, I mean, goddamn, they don't know who they want to play. They don't even know. I mean, it's like flip a coin for them.
Dude, we almost got beat by a team that's using the sixth grade method.
It really is. Like, all right, you get first possession. Johnny's going to get second possession. Jimmy's getting third possession. Like, they just flip a coin. It's like, all right, Adrian, your turn. But what both of those two guys can do is they're pretty good at getting out of the pocket and running, which actually is something that killed Northwestern last night when they got beat by Michigan State. Freaking Lombardi rolled.
Hey, Hawks are alive for the Big Ten West title, baby. Let's go.
How insane is that, bro? We literally just got chanced back in.
It's low.
Well, I mean, Northwestern is up the next two games. Yeah, but we're alive, baby. We're still alive.
But when a quarterback has the ability to scramble and it's third and long and a guy can go get it's why freaking A-Rod and Russell Wilson and Lamar in the pros, like when it's third and long and that guy can just kind of scramble and the defense is in that weird middle position where if they bite too early, they leave their guy open. But if they don't bite soon enough, the guy just runs for the first down out of bounds and picks it up by a half yard. It's just such a killer to a defense. And Luke McCaffrey and Adrian Martinez can both do that. Now, thank God, the one thing they can't do is throw the ball. I mean, they can't throw the ball. And even if they could, they don't have anybody to throw it to. They have one guy, Wandale Robinson, number one.
He was a good player, though.
He's a good player, but he's their only player.
Don't disrespect the Tower of Terror.
The tight end?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. He made a couple good plays before he got dropped on his
neck. Was good too. He's good too. But other than that, like their next best receiver, I think, is Warner, who was like a non-factor. So they have no weapon.
Oliver Martin had to catch yesterday.
Oliver Martin, baby.
Oliver Martin can catch these nuts.
Okay, here we go. catch. Wow. So it was a frustrating game, very back and forth. It felt like neither team wanted to take control. Back to the D-line real quick. I don't know if you guys looked at it this closely. After the Penn State game last week, you saw Davion tip one, and we got the deflection interception to Chauncey. Then Davion kind of swindles Clifford into the pick six. Did it look like almost they were like, screw it. I'm not going to rush. I'm going to try and get tips on the ball. Like they weren't giving an effort so that they could kind of.
So the JJ Watt method is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like that's the 2020 JJ Watt method.
They were trying to cherry pick it and not actually go for sacks. Maybe I'm wrong there. I don't know enough about the D line. It just seemed like they've gotten pressure. I mean, Davion's like a TFL leader in the conference. He has the capability, but.
So, I mean, generally, I think they teach you always play your run fit first and then you read pass, then you try to go for a pass move. And if you know that you're not going to get home, then they kind of teach, you know, try to see the quarterback's eyes and get in the passing lane. So, I mean, that's it. That's if you know, like, you're already beat.
Yeah.
That was happening a little too often, so. Yeah, you're supposed to move from a run fit, get into a pass rush, and then, you know, if you're really just beat and you're not going to beat the guy that rep, that's what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
Let's say you're rushing against two guys, and like, you know, I'm not going to get off with two of them in a pass situation. That's kind of what you're taught to do.
Mm-hmm. Stats here for the day. Petrus ended 18 for 30 for 193 for one touchdown and one interception. The interception was again, effort. He's trying, but decision wise, it was in the stadium. It was like the whole crowd knew it was a pick before he even threw it. It was tough. That was a bad one.
Yeah. When he threw that one on TV, I threw up a little bit.
And so 18 for 30, 193 yards, not great, not absolutely horrid. Adrian Martinez, 18 for 20 for 174 yards. So a lot of completions. They just didn't do a whole lot with it. McCaffrey, 3 for 5. They both had 5+ rushes as well.
No big plays, baby.
No big plays.
We win games. We win. I think Phil Parker had the GAs go back and calculate. But when we give up 2 or less big plays in a game, we win like 90% of our games.
Can you imagine how pissed you are as a GA when Phil just walks up to you and he's like, you know what? We need more analytics. I hear analytics and win in football games. Go back through every football game and calculate their big plays.
Bro, like shout out GAs, because those guys are the hidden heroes. Those guys do so much for the program.
They do an insane
amount. They just get shit on, too. Yep, they're awesome, though.
Goodson ends with 30 carries for 111 yards, just grinded it out, just stuck to it. Second half, we started the half, and it opened up, and we were finding some lanes, and it looked good.
I had no idea they handed it to him 30 times.
What? Yeah, 30.
I had no.
Because Mekhi only had 5.
Last week was Mekhi's week. They gave it to him 15 times for like 115 yards or something like that. Flipped it around, gave it to T Good this week, I guess.
It's weird. I don't know. That's probably a little too many. We probably can't have.
If we're going to run it 35 times, splitting it 20 to 15 or maybe like 23 to 12 may not be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, that's probably closer to what we want. Just because Mekhi has proven that he can get it done too, and he's almost better in some instances. Receiving wise, again, really balanced reception wise. ISM 3, Laporta 5, Byer 2. Byer opened the game with just one of the just sickest catches I've ever seen.
That was a nasty.
That play. Was
it's like I was like, Byer, didn't know you had that in you, bud. Let's go. Smith with 3 catches, Reganey 2 catches.
Hey, and actually, now that we're talking about receiving, gotta give Pedris a little backup here. On that one possession where it ended with the shot to the corner.
Nico.
And yeah.
That was a pretty ball. Just a touch out of reach.
Just and it was in the end zone that we swarm out of. And it was, I mean, it probably should have been caught. And it's just so weird.
I'm gonna say this, just because it's critique hour, I think, and don't take this to the grave. I think Nico's first step out of his break was supposed to be higher towards the pylon. Because if you look at the angle Spencer threw the ball, it was going to hit the pylon. Like, it was dead ass on the pylon. But Nico's first step was more towards the front pylon. And then when he corrected, you know, he had to change his direction a little bit. I really think it was just that one step.
That was
actually a perfect ball. But don't quote me on it.
And isn't it so weird that Spencer can do that, but then do some of the other stuff that we've seen him do? Like, it's so odd. I'm not a QB guru. I don't know why he can throw the A-plus ball and then throw the D ball. What was most concerning or maybe frustrating to see this week was with Spencer was – you know, people have been talking about his pocket presence and how he gets a little bit of happy feet. It was really bad on Saturday. He and you could see it on that pick. He gets just, it's almost like he's got just live wire juice running through his veins, and he just was like, it's just a little jumpy. And it hasn't gotten any better. And again, if we had anything better than Petrus, if there was any shot, I cannot imagine that they would have just tried something else at this point. So I have to believe that Padilla and Hogan are just, they're just not there yet. Playbook wise, command wise. I think that Hogan, supposedly, you know, people are high on him, and I've heard that he's made some Mahomes like throws in practice.
Okay. We can't just be throwing that out there now.
I mean, scout team throws where he just gets to do whatever he wants. So it's a little easier than easier said than done, or easier done than if you're really playing. But I think maybe he's the guy moving forward. I mean, obviously he has to go win that job, but there's no question that at this point it's we're all toe on the line, even race in January. And that's the way it should be. I mean, I don't think Spencer would tell you differently. I think
healthy competition is the only way to breed improvement, right?
Absolutely.
That's what makes America great, baby.
Yeah.
Rock on. Praise God.
Anything else? Okay. So, you know, in the end, 26-20. First of all, boys, I was a little worried on that last drive because we were just letting them toss it.
But I was a little worried when that field goal posted. When that was the way that it missed. Like, if Keith's going to miss from 50, okay, so be it. Like, that's a long kick.
Let me break that down quick. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So there's been some complaints about the PAT unit this year. I'm not sure if some of it is because of Keith's misses and people are just reaching to maybe blame it on the snapper or the holder. No doubt. There's been some issues. Obviously Spiewak skidded the one at Minnesota. That wasn't good. You know, without really looking at the Iowa film, the actual film that they take, it's hard to tell from, even if you're in the stadium, it's hard to tell 'cause you're from the side. Without getting a good look from the end zone view, it would be hard to grade Gersonde on holding right now. But that all matters, right? Spiewak, when you throw a low snap, what happens is the holder has to trap the ball against the ground to stop it because he can't get a hand underneath it to catch. And when you trap the ball, what happens is the kicker is looking for that fat part of the ball. He's trying to get that. He's looking for the fatty. And that's where once he sees, you know, the wide open backside of the ball, he feels confident that he can put his foot on it and he can kind of line that up. All of that slows down when the ball has to get trapped. Now the hand is on top of that spot that Keith is trying to find. Everything happens a little bit slower. You got to understand that this whole process hopefully is 1.3 seconds or less. So there's not a whole lot of room for error here. And, you know, Keith basically, you know, he didn't have enough time to find that spot, which means that he has to just throw everything he has into punching that ball. And when you punch a football as a kicker, you're basically, you say, screw the hang time. I'm punching this straight at the end zone. We're just going to try and sail it through fast and low and not worry about the hang time. Usually that hang time comes when you can hit that sweet spot. And it would just at 50 yards, it just wasn't enough. It died, and that hurts.
But he hit it so hard. Like, you could tell how hard he hit the ball because the way it hit the post, it didn't hit the post dying. It hit the post hard as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, we got a little lucky in the end. I think there was a penalty on that last drive that brought them back. And then Phil Parker called, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure Parker called in a blitz, at one point.
Kev, what happened? Call it.
The last play? No. Golston just beat the guard on his pass rush and caught Martinez as he was throwing the ball. And then Van Valkenburgh, because I'm not sure if that was a throw or a fumble, but he snatches it out of the air. Don't even have to worry about it. Hawks win, baby. Take the knee.
And it's so good to grab the Heroes Trophy. I mean, that hit feel.
And of course, Scott Frost had one timeout left, and of course he called the timeout because why wouldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, and speaking of Scott Frost,
Frosty the Snowman headed back to Christmas, not a winner. Fucking losers out there out west. You guys suck.
Yeah.
Lick them.
Here is obviously you guys saw this or listeners heard this after the game. This went around Twitter. You know, KF's kind of been on one this year in the post games. KF was asked about, or I guess in the middle of the game, Scott Frost is claiming that the clapping from the Iowa sideline is affecting their cadence. And this is coach's response.
snap and bothering please. Them? Is that something that came up?
Well, so the officials said something to me about that at halftime. And I'm like, okay, so we told our banner sideline, the coaches, I don't know if players were clapping, told them though. And then next thing I know, I have one of my headsets off. And I got one on, one off a lot of times. You don't pay attention, but all of a sudden I see Cody Maher like, you know, hey, let's go, guys. You know, and then I caught myself doing it like, hey, good job, let's go. So, I mean, what the hell are we talking about? Like, it's stupid, right? And I have no idea. Plus, I do know this. I saw across the field, they had like a little clap routine. It was for third downs or something. I don't know. So this is stuff I, you know, 22 years, 20, this is my 22nd year. I never heard him thinking about that, with one exception. I'll give you a story since we got time. So anyway, you know.
I got time today.
Told the officials, we told our guys. But, you know, it's football. So maybe they need to change their cadence if it was interfering with the cadence. I don't know. Now, here's my story. You guys want a story?
He says, oh, you guys want a story? He knows they fucking want a story. Of course we want a story.
So my son Steve used to be at Central Michigan, right, as a GA. And they had a film. This is pretty good, actually. I guess it's kind of like today. There were two guys down in the end zone to the right of Central Michigan's bench actually doing that, okay, synchronizing it with their opponent. I can't tell you who they were playing. It's the funniest damn thing, right? He showed it to me on film. That was funny. Two college kids are doing it, right? But I got to tell you, that's going back to the original topic. I've never heard of that. Never heard of it. Now, if a player on the field was doing it to try to, you know, I get that. But what are we talking about? Next thing you know, we're going to be.
And like you hear him kind of like scoff. That's him holding back laughing. Oh, like he's trying to be so hard to be professional, but he wants to outwardly laugh.
And then he goes on. He's like, this is the good one.
I was going to say tennis, but they do that at tennis, right? But in golf, nobody's allowed to say anything, right? Sorry. No. Sorry.
Coach, the next question from Mark Freund.
The next guy goes, I don't know how to follow that up. And then KF goes into some more.
We should just go home right now. What are we talking about? It's football, right? It's football. Wow.
Spencer's pick, he was pretty.
Were they okay with that?
Oh, jeez.
The guy starts asking
next question.
He's
still not done.
Yeah. He starts asking the next question about Spencer's pick, and KF's not fucking done.
Spencer's pick, he was –
were they okay with how I dressed today? Should I be changing my pants or, you know, different shirt? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm distracted right now.
He said, oh, shit. And then I look over there, huh? And I see they got their clapping routine. I don't know if they're doing a halftime show or fucking what they're doing. I had Cheerios for breakfast this morning, huh? They think I should have had Wheaties? Are they okay with the Cheerios? Oh, fuck. I mean, KF is just...
Goat. Fucking goat, man. Love
now, some
it.
People...
Hawks win. Good weekend.
Some people are questioning, like, KF has been sassy twice now. Like, it's almost like he does not give a shit.
Have you guys ever seen Greg Popovich do an interview? There comes a time in your life where you're so tenured that you're tired of trying to please other people and you're just going to be yourself.
Is it just that he's just to the point where he just doesn't give a shit? Or is it like, or is this potentially like him saying like, I'm almost done. Like this could be.
I would genuinely hope that after 2020, after everything that's happened in the year of 2020 and being KF in his 22nd year, being the most tenured head coach in the Big Ten, et cetera. I would truly hope he just doesn't give a shit about people's opinions anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. I don't think it's like I don't think he's doing it specifically because he's like, he knows he's going to be done at the end of this year and it doesn't matter. I think he's just after everything they've gone through, like you said, I think they're just I think he's at that point. He just doesn't give a shit. It's incredible though to hear. I mean, Frost really going to blame the snap? I mean, what other excuses? I mean, we talked about it with Searles.
It's like Deontay Wilder making every excuse for losing the fight, except for the fact that he didn't learn how to box. It's like Frost is using every excuse except teaching his players how to actually play football.
Yeah. Side note, Jake Paul was the easiest money I ever made.
Dude, that was amazing.
It was easy money. That's it. I mean, 6 years in a row, and there's not a whole lot to say. We play Illinois, who, you know, handled Nebraska a lot better than we did, to be fair. But
We're big Minnesota fans this week.
We're huge Minnesota fans. We want Minnesota to knock off Northwest. We need that game.
We want them to get clear of the vid this week. Yeah, otherwise we're screwed.
We need them to play, first of all, and then we need the fighting PJ Fleckers to come out and score some tutties on Patty Fisher's defense.
How funny is it that Tits Gerald and his kid is Tits Gerald 2.0?
Yeah. That was funny. That was sent to us by somebody on Twitter. There's a picture of Pat and his kid, and his kid likes to eat McDonald's.
His kid is titted out.
Yeah, he's got a little chest on him. Probably bench press a little bit. That's it. I forgot in the beginning that I was going to actually. I was actually going to apologize, and I'll throw that in the beginning so people can hear it. Cause it was actually after the tweet settled down and everything on Twitter, I was like, after I realized that it came out in a way that I would have said it if I was on the team and not something that I would have blasted on social media. I was like, that is kind of bullshit. Like that's not something that should go out other than between guys. That's it. Y'all got anything else?
Baby.
That's it.
Hawks by a million, baby. Hawks by a million, baby.
Hey, Kevin.
Orange crush up next week. Let's go.
Kevin, it was good to have you, man.
Oh, it's always good to be on, boys.
All right. Drake is repping the Buffalo Bills hat today. Dad Gerthy Butker is back at it. NFL slate.
How about me talking about how I wouldn't bet against the Broncos this week because Josie was pissed at me, and then they go ahead and lose all four of their quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, you could play quarterback for them today. So that's that.
Denied their appeal or their what was not appeal, but they tried to get one of their quality control coaches to play quarterback for him because they said he knew the system the best.
That's crazy. I mean, that's it. Thanks for sticking
Except
around.
I need to hear your mean tweets reel.
All right. I'll pull them up. This would have been better if we just would have gone through them all at the beginning. This was some of the stuff that was said. And for those that don't, like mean stuff. I mean, this is going to get mean. This is cyberbullying right here. I was bullied.
This is cyberbullying at its finest, folks. This is exactly why you should keep your kids off of social media. And you guys, the new age of parents should breed a new age of kid that no longer is interested in social media so we can kill this shit. It is so toxic.
It is dirty. And I have a plenty thick skin. I can handle all this. It does not affect me at all because I know who I am and I don't need keyboard warriors to tell me
that I can be assured of. Kluver has never been one to really care too much if people were saying mean things
at all, dude. So just know that when I read these, I laughed when I read them and I'm fine. I didn't put down a lot of them because the general consensus was like, Kluver's a douche. Kluver's a tool. Kluver.
It's all the same stuff that I got when I was on Twitter. Dude.
Kluver's a douche. Kluver's a tool. You know, for me, I don't have like a consistent record of this. So that actually those ones are the one like, damn, what did I do to these guys? Because I feel like I've been pretty straight edge till this point. Like they're just mad I have a podcast, I guess. So it started with, I just wrote these down. Culver was a weird kid in high school. He likes the spotlight. So, I mean, yeah, you ain't wrong. I mean, who don't like the spotlight a little bit? And my name is... I mean, I'm eating Culver's tonight, but the name is Kluver. If you went to high school with me, it was KLU, not Culver, dude. Like, chill.
Oh, God.
I was fat, but I'm not a butter burger.
You did look like a butter burger.
I was a butter burger, but not anymore. Who the fuck is Tyler Kluver? Like, they were genuinely curious. And I'll be honest, you know what? Sometimes I ask the same question. I don't know the answer either.
Yeah, I really that's don't. A vibe.
Washed up walk-ons trying to keep their 3 seconds of fame.
Facts.
You know, like, I guess.
We're irrelevant.
We gotta stay relevant, man. That's why I did it, of course. How does a... So someone said I was mad. Someone responded to my tweet, and I was like, oh, it was Amir's tweet. Someone responded to Amir's tweet. He's just mad he has to watch from the couch. And it was clearly someone who, like, didn't do the research. And I got real, like, someone said I went Uncle Rico. But I was like, hey, guy, I started 53 games for the Hawks. I ain't mad about shit. And someone said, how does a long snapper start a game? Played in 53 straight, sure. You weren't a starter, champ. Actually, one step down from a kicker. Okay. All right. Cool. The fact that Tyler Kluver is somehow still relevant is the most noteworthy thing in this thread.
Hey, dude. Hey, keep your fame, pimp. Don't be mad at the player. Be mad at the game.
And after I read that, I was like, I think that's a compliment. I mean, their name, my name's in their mouth, dude. Like, it is what it is. And then there were several like this, but this was the king cobra of them all.
This is the king right here. I got to get prepped.
This is the king cobra, bro. This guy came after me hard. Kluver is washed up, their own words. And even when he was on the team, he was a nobody. Now he's a racist douchebag who thinks he's relevant because he started a podcast. It's clear how jealous he is that he never was one with real talent. And now we'll say anything just to be relevant.
I mean, I was expecting something better because none of his stuff was funny and a lot of it was a real stretch. So I don't know, man.
There's a lot
like,
of
sure,
that.
It's a dig. Like, sure, it's disrespectful to say. Like, if he was trying to be just as outwardly disrespectful as possible, he achieved his goal. But did he actually say something that's worthy of making you feel bad? And no, not really at all. I mean, because you can just cut right through all this dumb.
Yeah, I mean, he really thinks he does have me figured out. He does. He did bring up a topic that, unfortunately, like, even Torin brought up on Twitter. Tried to make it about a race thing, and people tried to, a lot of people got mad at me because I was calling Amir out, which hindsight with everything that's happened and then him getting the DUI and kind of being in a bad light early on in the season. The fact that he was the one that I tweeted about looks really bad. I'll agree. But I want to make sure everyone knows that this is not racial at all. You can go back on my Twitter over the last 2 years and find tweets about me praising Amir for his return game, praising things for he. You can go back to the last couple podcasts and hear me and Drake suck off Tyler Goodson and Dane Belton and Davion Nixon for what they've been doing. For your information, all of those guys are African American. It's not a race thing. But those who search for it will find it, and they're going to think what they're going to think. I'm going to go back and add that apology because I think Barnes listens to this. And what really hurt me the most was not other people on Twitter reacting to it. Like, cool. It's when, you know, Barnes didn't really like the tone of it and thought it was bullshit. And Gervas, who I respect highly, Ben Neiman reached out to me in the DMs and said something like, hey, this is what I think about it and kind of my feelings on it. And those are the guys I give a shit about. And that those are the ones that I should not have said it in the way that I said it to respect the sanctity of the brotherhood of that we have.
And what's wrong? And now what's wrong with us taking a moment and of self-reflection and saying, have we ever made a mistake that if we could have gone back, we'd have done differently? And if your answer is yes,
And you clearly hear my man saying that he recognizes the mistake that he made, and he tried to explain what his thinking was. But I mean, my man made a mistake, so let him make up for his mistake.
That was the funny thing. It's like everybody wants to. It's like damn. Everybody hops on real quick and starts to say what I'm doing wrong. But then you go to like their tweet feeds and it's like them ripping to shreds, like all of the bad shit that our players do.
Just remember. You're going to talk shit to somebody else. Remember who you slept with in high school. This is me towards the public, not towards you.
I know. I'm trying to figure out the generalized statement. People aren't proud.
Were made much deeper, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Than Twitter.
Yeah. But it's all good, baby. Wash up walk-ons, walk-on army. I probably apologize a little bit to you guys because I do not want to put the show in jeopardy. And I don't ever mean
this shit ain't in jeopardy, pal.
Yeah, to bring a bad light. There'll probably be a few ears on this one that aren't normally, which is why I'm going to go back and amend, throw in a little personal action there so that if people tune out towards the end, then they hear it. But thanks for joining us. The Heroes Trophy resides in Iowa City. And because Iowa State, who, yes, is going to be fighting for the Big 12 championship, did not play the Hawks this year, that means the Cy-Hawk, just sweet justice that in their potential Big 12 championship year, they still don't have the Cy-Hawk trophy in their building.
Feels very, very good.
They are good. And I hope that they win it because, you know, that's something that we got to – for the guys on the team, I hope they win. For the fan base, it'd be cool for them too. But the guys who, you know, since we've been in that spot and we didn't come away with one, I know how fucking precious that could be. That's it. It's Illinois week. And hopefully we can get 5 in a row and be looking at the Badgers and the freaking bowl, the last trophy on the schedule for number 6, a 6-2 season. That would be something after that first couple of weeks. So walk-ons will talk at you again next week. We're about to go watch some NFL games. And I'll try to stay off the I'll try to calm down the Twitter fingers a little bit. You know? Talk to you later.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.